right, it is good to see everyone today. We are in Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading in verse 9. And the title of today's message is A Mindset of Spiritual Progress. God wants us moving forward. And I want you to understand something. We're going to look at that in the Scripture today. The Scripture expresses this mentality. God wants your life to be good today, and He wants it to get better. And He wants it to keep getting better. And He does not want the child of God to plateau, or to level off, or to hit a wall, or to lose the same battles over and over again. And He doesn't want you to have to be defeated by the same weaknesses over and over again. So we're going to establish that in the Word of God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 says this. Paul says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard, do not cease to pray for you and to desire," this is the prayer, "that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Now we're going to come back and look at this, but that's the mental. That's how God wants you to think. Verse 10. "That you might walk worthy of the Lord." This is action. This is life. "Unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." So that word walk means to proceed forward. When you're walking, you're proceeding forward. So He wants us moving forward in our Christian life. And then notice what He says. "Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, and all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father for our salvation," verse 14, "for the redemption and forgiveness of sins that we have through His blood." Amen. And I just want to say again, my friend, that's the primary mindset the Lord wants you to have. Every morning, He doesn't want you to get up and say, "Oh my goodness, how am I going back?" He wants you to get up and say, "Lord Jesus, I want to thank You that I am forgiven. The precious blood of Christ has bought me my salvation." And the salvation, your salvation in Christ Jesus, that is the foundation of your entire life as a born-again child of God. So build everything on that thought tomorrow morning. Build everything on that thought today. God has purchased me with His own blood. I'm a born-again child of God. The foundation of my life is my relationship with Jesus Christ through His cross. So Lord, how do You want me to think today? How do You want me to think about myself? How do you want me to think about what I'm facing, what I'm having to handle? There's going to be 8 points off this mental checklist in a moment, but we're going to go to a couple more scriptures and come back. Let's go to Jesus. Father, thank You. Thank You for health and strength. Thank You for touching my body. Father, use me today for Your glory. I must decrease, You must increase. And Lord Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me of daily sin, my sins today, this week. And I pray for an anointing of Your Spirit to share Your truth with these beautiful, beautiful souls that You have assembled today. And so, Lord Jesus, I just pray right now that You take over and You guide us in Your glorious name today. I thank You and praise You, Father. Amen. All right, Colossians 1:9 is basically saying this. He's saying, I want you moving forward. I want you walking worthy of the Lord. So this is it. It's expressing a mentality. The Christian life should be marked by spiritual progress and growth. Alright, I want you to understand that. The Christian life should be marked by spiritual progress and growth. A moving forward. Look at what it says in verse 9. It says, that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will, wisdom, and spiritual, not half full, not mostly empty. He wants you to experience fillings in your life. In verse 10, He talks about increases, growth, faithfulness. So I want you to understand something. In John chapter 10, Jesus says this, "I have come that you might have life and have it more abundant." Yes. So I want you to believe this right now. Jesus Christ wants you to have a good life. Yes, amen. All right, just think about that for a moment. Jesus Christ wants you to have a good life. Jesus Christ wants me to have a good life. Did you say that with me? Jesus Christ wants me to have a good life. Well, just think it out. Jesus Christ wants me to have a good life. Because I'm going to tell you something, my friend. We're in a fight. And this thing's worth fighting for. Having the life that the Lord wants you to have, it's worth fighting for. And you're going to see that in a letter to Timothy in a moment. And I hope I get there today, because I want to tell you, you know why I'm going to fight for the life Jesus wants me to have? Because Jesus fought on the cross to give me the opportunity to have that life. So I want to stand up today and say, Lord Jesus, I'm going to fight for all you want me to have. Because when you were on that cross, you fought for Leo Dorn.
Yes,
and so we got to grab hold of that. Alright? Jesus wants us to have spiritual progression in our life. And this is a mentality that is expressed through the Scripture. So go with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And this is how the Lord wants us to think about our lives. This is the mentality. This moving forward mindset as expressed in Scripture. Now, we understand this. We have athletes in here. We have folks that are coaching. We have business people. Anytime you get involved in anything, you want to get better at it. You want to get better at it. And so we understand this mentality. No man goes into business to break even. He didn't go into business to break even. You don't go to school not to learn anything. You don't get involved in a sport not to get better at it. We want and we understand what it means to progress. And when we're not progressing, it discourages us. And we try to do everything we can, whether it's business or sport or whatever. Well, my friend, it's the same way spiritually, but the devil has lied to us so much. Folks come to a place where they plateau and they take this attitude, this is the way it's always going to be. And they sell short their Lord Jesus Christ and the plans He has for their lives. So, look at what it says. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Now, this is the mindset of moving forward. Not as though I'd already attained. Either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. God, the Lord grabbed me. I'm trying to pursue Him and grab Him and be more like Him. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I'm going to stop there. Verse 12. Not as though I had already apprehended or attained or had already arrived in a state of maturation. That's that word perfect. You know why 80% of most church people you know are the same today as they were 30 years ago? And I've got to give Patty credit for this line. She's used it for years, and as I was sharing this with her the other day, she said it back to me. Most people have as much of Jesus as they want. Go out there today. Ask somebody, what are you? I'm a Methodist. You are? Yeah. Why are y'all getting here 30 minutes late now? We get out 10 to 12 every Sunday. It don't take long to find out what's important to people. They've got just as much Jesus as they want. And then Patty throws this in here, and she said, Leah, if you're preaching that, put live. They got just as much Jesus as they want, or just as little bit of Jesus as they want. Do you understand what Paul's saying there? He said, I'm not already attained. I have not already apprehended. I am going to keep reaching forth and reaching forth and reaching forth. And I'm going to tell you something. You go to church with 100 people that feel pretty good about themselves in their walk with Christ, you're going to feel pretty good about yourself in your walk with Christ, and you're going to plateau. And if you got a guy standing up here telling you how good you're doing in your walk with Christ, and he's satisfied, we're all going to be in a mess. My friend, we got to do what Paul's telling us to do. Look at what he says. Verse 13. I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Number one, forgetting those things which are behind. You know how, Beth, you forget things or you remember things in your mind. Alright, this is how God wants us to think. Number one, there are certain things you need to forget.
Amen.
The devil will use your past to keep you from what? Moving forward. I'm going to tell you, and you disagree, and there are people on the internet that disagree with me, and that's fine, and they listen to my messages. The devil knows this. I know this, and the Lord knows this. You cannot lose your salvation. The Bible says you're sealed once you're saved. But the devil's goal is to keep you from growing. Yes. To keep you from progressing. Yes. To keep you from fulfilling what God wants for your life. And number one, he wants you to remember every bad thing you've done. Amen. You know who's writing something? The Apostle Paul. And you know what his name was before God changed it to Paul?
Saul.
And you know, Saul, he wanted no preaching. What did he do? He murdered Christians. He hunted them down. He got orders from the Roman government. And he slaughtered Christian after Christian after Christian. Stephen, one of the original, he oversaw his son. So what I want you to understand is he's got credibility when he says, hey, you've got to forget those things which are behind. You've got to forget those things which are behind. And let me tell you, say, Brother Leo, I can't. Don't say can't. All right, don't say can't. Let me give you a little one-on-one kindergarten stuff here. We got two words, all right? Can't speaks to ability. Won't speaks to will. All right? God's created you with will, a free will, and he's created you with ability. Can't is not a word that exists in the Christian vocabulary. We're going to do another little thing right here. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Wait a minute, you don't have to listen to me. Look at it. Philippians 4, verse 13. Do you see that? Do you see that? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All right? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Will you say that with me? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Amen. Yes, thank you.
Don't ever say can't again. You have the ability through Christ. So I'm gonna go back to where I was. All right, you're saying right now, Brother Leo, I can't forget certain things. My friend, I want you to understand something. You can't. But you can ask God to take them out of your memory.
That's right.
Lord Jesus, I want you to take them out of my memory. Father, it's not helping me to dwell on this. It's hurting me in my own personal relationship. It's hurting me in relationships with other folks. It's not harming them. Somebody may have done you awful and awful and awful. But my friend, you can't dwell on it. They crucified our Lord. He never sinned. So I'm going to tell you something. I sin all the time. Whatever happens to me, I deserve a good 120% of what I get. But I want to praise God today. Anything of that, you just got to say, Lord Jesus, free me up. And what did I tell you 2 weeks ago? I'm not going there. Lord Jesus, take that out of my mind. And Holy Spirit, bring into my mind the things you want me to think about today. Alright, so we got to reach forth, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You ever been on a bench press? Have you ever done a bench press? Nobody. No, you know, you might go in there and you start out, you're benching 120 pounds. And then a year later, three times a week you go in for a year, and then you go back in and you get down and you're still bench pressing 120 pounds? You wouldn't be satisfied with that. Christian, listen. We are to be getting stronger in the Lord. And when he's talking about pressing forward, you know why he's pressing forward? Because you live in a fallen world. And because you carry around a fallen body. But now the perfect Holy Spirit and the power of the resurrection of Christ is living in your heart. But every step you take forward, he's going to strengthen you. He'll guide you. But you are going to meet resistance in this life. You know who the prince of this world is? The devil. You're going to meet resistance. And the devil don't even have to mess with me. My own flesh is weak enough to trip me up. My own mind has enough problems to trip me up. So what I want you to understand, we've got to get a mindset like Paul. You know, when you meet resistance, you don't go sit in the corner and cry or quit or have a pity party. We say, hey, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we say, hey, this might be hard, but I'm getting stronger. I am getting stronger. God has allowed this to come into my life, not to weaken you, not to destroy you, but to make you stronger. And you know why it's making you stronger? So you can help some other folks on the journey. Because I want to praise God for all the folks He sent to help me. So we got to help other folks on the journey. So we're getting stronger. And this is the mindset. I haven't even gotten to the good stuff yet. Verse 15. Let us therefore as many as be mature. That word perfect means mature. Be thus minded. Stop right there. There it is. Be thus minded. You need to have a mindset of striving for. You need to have a mindset of striving for. And then look at what he says. And if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this even unto you. What's the opposite of saying I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? And the opposite of saying I'm getting stronger? Or the opposite of saying God is using this to progress me in my spiritual journey? You know what the opposite of that is? Saying, well, I guess I'm always going to be this way. Well, I guess this is the way it's always going to be. Oh, I can't help it. I'm just a worrier. I can't help it. I hold bitterness. I can't help it. I don't forgive. Or how about this one? Oh, that stuff might work for Brother Leo, but you know, I'm not worthy of any of this and blah, 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 blah. Let me tell you something. I really believe by actual experience there's no one in here that's committed any sin that I've not committed in the reality of experiencing that particular sin. But secondly, let me tell you another truth. If we have committed one sin, we've committed them all. So throw that lie. Next time that comes in saying, you know, I'm not one of these people that can grow in the Spirit. I'm not Brother Leo. That's the lie. So you need to go. Here we go. That's what we've been doing for 3 weeks. Cameron reminded me Wednesday night. I'm not going there. I've got to do the hand. You've got to get the whole. I'm not going there. And Lord, you bring into my mind the way you want me to think about this right now. And you know what he's going to say? He's going to say, you're the only one that's holding you back. I died for your sins. And hey, let's get moving forward. I will help you grow in the Spirit. And so we've got to get a mindset. Paul said, be thus minded. And look at what he said. God shall reveal unto you the areas in your life where you're not thinking correctly. Verse 15, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. Add this to your prayer life. If you're taking notes, write it down. Add this to your prayer life. You know, we ask God to convict us of sin. Now, that's a good prayer. And then, Lord, convict me of the sins I've committed today. And so you can confess them and let the blood of Jesus cover them and be done with them. It's like taking a shower every night, spiritually. But also say, Lord, convict me of my thinking that is not thinking in the way you want me to think. Convict me of the areas where I am otherwise minded and not being thus minded to the way you want me to think about certain things. Convict me of my mindedness. Because my friend, there is no way your hands or your feet or even your tongue or your mouth can hold you back. If you combine every sin you've ever committed with your hands and your feet and your tongue or your mouth, they won't come up to one-tenth of the thoughts of our mind that absolutely hold us back and wreck us and get us out of God's will. I want you to think, hey, if we can get this mind stuff straight, we got it. That's 90% of it. And that's why the more I'm studying this, I keep running across these verses. Be thus minded. Think on these things. Think this way. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And you start studying these things, and they're all through the New Testament. And man, when you can get, as Paul said, and we studied it last week, when you get to the point where every thought of the mind is being taken captive by the Holy Spirit and brought unto His obedience, oh my friend, you're going to get so freed up. You are going to be a joyful, peaceful, contented person. And that's what we're shooting for. And brother Leo, you mean we can get every thought? We'll never get every thought, but we're never going to stop till we do. So the day we die, we're going to be trying to bring our mind more under the authority and captivity of the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul means when he says, I'm not yet apprehended. I'm still reaching for.
Yeah.
So we want to keep reaching for. Go with me, my dear friend, to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. We want to grab this mindset. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the rain.
Yes.
That's right, Lord, I'm going to preach till it stops. They say it's going to stop tomorrow about midday. I don't want any of y'all getting wet. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says this. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race or the course that is set before us. Paul wants us to have this mentality. I'm sorry, the Hebrew writer wants us to have this mentality that there is a course set before us and we need to keep progressing on it. But he warns us that there are sins and weights that bring us to a stop. Let's say we're going down this course. And I'm going down the course and there's lean. And I get around a curve and he's laying there flat out. He's got one of these weight plates, you know, that they put on barbells. And it's one of these 100-pound weight plates. And it's laying across his chest. And he's just laying there in a moment. I believe a lot of people in their Christian lives are there. I believe they're just like, you know, other Christians are going down the course, but I believe 80% of our Christians are just, they're laying there. And look at what he says. You know what amazes me? I mean, it's not that he's downplaying it, but look at what the Hebrew writer says. He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset. He acts like it's easy. Just lay it aside. And you're saying, goodness, just lay it aside. How do you do it? Well, then he goes, 2. The only way you can lay it aside is this way. Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Let's stop right there. He who has begun a good work in you. Is this a good mentality? Huh? Think about this one. He who has begun a good work in you will do what? What's he going to do? He's going to finish it. He's going to complete that work in you. Alright? He doesn't want you to stop. Alright? He started the work of salvation. He's the author. And he's going to carry you right into glory. He's the finisher. So we look unto Jesus. Look unto Jesus. What do we tend to look unto? The circumstance, the weight, all that stuff. Well, I want to ask you something. Is your God not big enough? Is your God not big enough to handle this? I sure hope so. Well, Brother Leo, I've been struggling with it for 30 years. I guess in your mind, your God's not big enough. Anything we've got, you know, the first thing most people, and it worked in my life, the first thing most people clean up when they come to Jesus is their language. Get convicted pretty quick of that, and they clean up their language. Well, I want to praise God, He's big enough to handle that. And there are a few other sins that just fall off like scales falling off the eyes. And I praise God He's big enough to handle that. But these strongholds, are we saying there are certain things in our lives that God is not able to do? No. Goes back to can and will again. And we've got to get serious about it and get our eyes fixed on Him and let Him work on it. Look at what He said. Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What does it mean that He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God? It means total victory. Total victory. It is finished. It is finished. He defeated every demon of hell and Satan himself that were trying to hold Him in that grave. He came out and He defeated every one of them. All at one time they were marshaled against Him, and the Spirit of Christ is living in your heart. So you got to speak that out loud. I want you to think right now the biggest weight that is on you, the biggest weight that keeps you from running your course for the Lord. Think about it or pray about it. Pray about the biggest weight that is on you. I just want you to think about that for a moment. And then I want you to just simply say this: my God is able to take care of this. My God is able to take care of this. You might not think this is a big deal, but this is a big deal because you need to start convincing yourself. So would you say that out loud? My God is able to take care of this. My God is able to take care of this. And you need to speak that thing out loud because all these other voices you've been hearing are telling you the opposite of that. And it's all these lies, and that's why we wallow in this stuff for 20 years. Would you say it again? My God is able to take care of this. I'm going to tell you something, man. He's given us a voice to use for His glory. And what does the Word say? Faith comes by. We say it out loud. Faith comes by. One more time. Faith comes by. All right. You know what the devil wants to hear out of your mouth? Lying and complaining. Oh, yeah, man. We're making it. That's in there. I come to give you a life where you can walk into church on Sunday morning and say, we're making it. Faith comes by hearing. Or the destruction of your faith will come by hearing. So when you're speaking this stuff, my friend, there is power in the spoken word. You know how powerful the spoken word is? Everything you see created was created by the spoken word of God. He spoke and it was done. Now His Spirit's in you. So I'm saying unto you today, you speak and it will be done in the name of Jesus Christ and for His glory. Because the Lord wants you to do what? He wants you to lay aside that weight and to look unto Him so that you can run that course. All right. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. And that's where we need to be. But let me tell you the mentality of what I believe is the majority of Christians I've dealt with over 30 years. Go to Revelation 3. And this is the characterization of the Laodicean church. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 and 16 speaks of the attitude and the mental attitude of the final church age before the return of Christ. And he says this: I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because you say and you think that you're rich and increased with goods, and you think you don't need anything. You don't even think you need me. And then in verse 18, the Lord goes on to say, I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire. The mentality of the Laodicean church is a lukewarm mentality. It's a lukewarm mentality. They're not on fire for the Lord. They're not committed. They're not serious about it. How disheartening is it when you coach a group of kids And one or two of the kids that are out there, they really don't even want to be there. They've kind of just got an I don't care attitude, and they just really don't want to be there. How disheartening is it when you're in a classroom, and I'm not saying it's always the child's fault, because a lot of times they don't come from good homes, but I'm just saying, how disheartening it is when you're trying to teach a classroom, and you've got two or three children that are there, and they just don't even want to, they don't think they have to do anything, they don't want to do anything. They've got this lukewarm mentality that I'm not going to make myself better, I'm not going to get a good education, I'm not going to become a better athlete. How about to have an employee who just wants to show up and get their money and go home, not put forth any extra effort or any of these things? How disheartening that would be. My friend, I believe that's the condition of the church. And every scripture screams out, I need you committed, dedicated, I want you striving, I want to be able to fill you, strengthen you, empower you. And well, you're a preacher, you ought to know. You know where this stuff happens? This stuff happens alone at home in your prayer closet. You've got access. The veil of the temple's been ripped from top to bottom. Everybody can speak to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you need to get serious about getting along with God and saying, okay, Lord Jesus, you reveal to me some of the things I need to be talking to you about, and I'm here to listen, and I'm here to speak a few things myself.
Cameron, a couple weeks ago, Cameron had those blood clots, and I'd already been praying for him that morning, and I texted that to Judy. I said, Judy, God's got this. And I mean, I try to put exclamation points because I'm saying it out loud. God's got this. God's going to use Cameron to bless somebody in Jackson today when he goes to have that thing done. God has got this.
We've got to grapple. Because most Christians get this lukewarm mentality. Let me give you some of my synonyms for this. A spiritual plateau. A lot of folks get saved. They come to Jesus 6 months later and they level off. I mean, for a good 3 months, they're solid as a rock, man. Having that quiet time. In there every time the doors are open. Blah, 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 blah. And then it wanes. Then it wanes. You've got to fight for it. I'm going to show you in a minute. You've got to fight for it. But it's a spiritual plateau. Or it's a spiritual wall. There are times we hit a spiritual wall. Number three, a defeatist attitude. Let me say, Brother Little, what do you mean a defeatist attitude? Oh, I just can't overcome it. I just can't overcome it. Boy, this beats me every time. You know what the mind, that's being otherwise minded. You know what thus mind is? I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. Huh? I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. Would you say that with me? I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. Say it again. I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. I mean, you say enough stuff that brings you down, that at least when you're in here, let's say a few things that'll get us up. Because that's going to be the next series. After we get to where our mind's straight, we're going to straighten out our mouths. Say the things God wants us to say. I know it. You think this guy's crazy. I really am. Number four is an acceptance. Number four is an attitude of acceptance. I am not going to accept anything less than what God wants to do. And you've got to say that. My friend, I want you to understand, God wants you to have the best marriage you ever had, and He wants it to be better today than it was 10 years ago. He wants you to have the best feelings about yourself that you've ever had. He wants you progressing, running a course set before you. And you don't need to accept anything. Don't accept anything that is less than God's best for you and for your loved ones. And I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes the Red Sea parts, and we just all fall down and praise Jesus. And sometimes we have to go through the process, and then the River Jordan parts. But either way, you say, Lord Jesus, I want you to do a miracle. I want you to deliver. I want you to do a miracle of healing. But, Lord, if you want us to go through the process, strengthen us, give us peace in our heart, and use us to be a blessing to someone as we go through the process. You can't lose with that prayer. You cannot lose with that prayer. That prayer shows your faith in the miraculous power of God, and that faith shows your willingness to be obedient and to trust Him no matter what. You cannot lose with that two-pronged prayer. Say it one more time. I am more than a conqueror through Christ. I am more than a conqueror through Christ. Through strength. Verse 18a says this, I counsel you to buy me gold, tried in the fire, that you may be rich. He wants us to be on fire for the Lord, committing and progressing. And I've got this in quotes, so I'm just going to say it to you. I'm not going to take you here today. I'm going to take you somewhere else, but I'm going to say it again. Here's Patty's quote again. Most folks have got as much of Jesus as they want. Most folks have got as much of Jesus as they want. And you don't have to go there, but write it down. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 11 through 15, it's talking about reward, and it talks about people escaping so as by fire. Escaping the judgment of God so as by fire, that's 80% of the church. They got saved, and that's about it. They're going to go into heaven with no rewards, no white linens, no righteousness, but they got saved, and it's like running out of a house that's on fire, and all you get out with is the clothes on your back. So it's called so as by fire. You know what Job said? Job said, write this down, I'm not taking you there. It's Job 19:20. At the time, they're thinking he's going through the judgment of God. And Job makes this statement. He said, I have faced the judgment, and I've gotten through barely just with the skin of my teeth. So I wanted you to know, people say that all the time. I wanted you to know where these phrases come from. The skin of your teeth comes from Job, and running out of house, caught on fire, comes from Paul. And that's pretty much the Christian experience. I want to praise God for people that cared about me and witnessed to me and loved me. They were more interested in just getting there by the skin of their teeth. And their reward is in heaven because they cared enough to share Jesus with me. From my mom and dad to the folks that were in my home church. I want to praise God. Every one of us in here today is where we are spiritually because somebody cared to serve Jesus. So you and I need to do it. Going back, if you're as old as I am or older than I am, you can go back years and years ago and say, thank you, Lord, for that person or those people that cared enough to be on fire for you. But we live in an age today that is Laodicean, and it's a lukewarm mentality. And I'm going to tell you, we wouldn't take it out of our students, out of our athletes, or out of our business people. And I think that's why the Lord says, man, you feel like spewing them out. You feel like spewing them out. You know, I hear teachers say all the time, I hear my wife say, you know, it's like pulling your hair. And she prays for these girls over here because they have to face it every day in these situations. And these ladies in here, but you're pulling your hair out to try to get them to want in a lot of situations. And I think that's how the Lord looks at us sometimes. Leo, goodness. But let me tell you my biggest problem. My biggest problem is he'll do a miracle a month ago and a miracle last week. And almost before I finish thanking him for what he's done, I'm worried about the next situation. You know, we got to confess these things, find out why we're like we are, and get freed up. It's all on you. And it's worth fighting for. Let me close out with 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Chapter 4. I hope every one of us can say this one day. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. Here we go. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He's about to die. And he looks back over his life and he simply says this. I have fought a good fight. I went down swinging.
Yes.
Your faith and your walk with Christ is worth fighting for. And you've got to fight for it. You've got to fight for it. You got to fight for it on Sunday morning. I've got a book. I've not yet published it yet, but it's Excuses Why Christians Don't Come to Church. It's going to be a bestseller. People are going to think I made up some of this stuff. And I'm going to write a disclaimer in my introduction. Every one of these is true. My final chapter closed with what I call the miraculous Monday morning healing. When we see their cars at work. But old brother, hey, we'll pay you to come in. We'll offer benefits. I'm teasing. Not about that. I'm teasing about that. I don't want to be giving you a hard time. But what I want you to understand, sometimes we just don't even fight for it. We don't even fight for it. You got to fight for it. And I'm going to tell you something. Your quiet time with the Lord, we're praying two things. Two things. Our prayer circle, that Sunday morning, we're praying that God will convict every one of our members to have a 30-minute quiet time alone with Him daily. I pray every morning. I'm up 5-6. That's my first prayer for every one of you. And if you're sitting in here saying, you know, I haven't gotten that going yet, well, I'm fixing to start praying tomorrow morning. Misery on you till you do. So tomorrow morning, I don't want none of you to have your stomachs running off or headaches or flat tire. Because I'm up at 5, so I'm up at 4 most of them. So I'm praying misery if you haven't got it going. But I want you to understand, you got to fight for it, man. You have got to fight for the alone time with Jesus, because it's the alone time with Jesus that changes your life. Yeah. And so He says that. He says, I fought a good fight. And He says this, I have finished my course. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
My daddy tells me all the time on the phone, he said, you are so blessed. He said, I know that I know that I know that you're doing exactly what you wanted to do. And He said, you're a blessed man to be able to do that. He said, you've been able to make a living doing exactly what you wanted to do. He said, I didn't get to do it. I had a cousin who died last week. There are only 3 of us left. My daddy, my son, and me. He died. There were rumors that he had died Wednesday. And it was in the newspaper yesterday. His name is John Carroll Doyle. C-A-R-R-O-L. John Carroll Doyle. He is my second cousin, and Google him, and read about his life, and he is an artist, and I have his autobiography. He was sexually abused as a child by someone in our family. His older brother committed suicide. He received the highest honor a civilian can receive in South Carolina, the Order of the Palmetto. His paintings sell all over the world, and they are paintings of downtown Charleston. He grew up with the African Americans in downtown Charleston. He paints wood ducks, and he paints, if you're ever going to some of the restaurants in Charleston, there are these huge murals of these black men. They're on these little wooden boats, and they're throwing out cast nets. He has painted my upbringing. And he said one time, he said, I worship God on a canvas behind a paintbrush, Leo. He said, you worship God in a building behind a pulpit, but we worship the same God.
Amen.
Last time I was in Charleston, I meant to go see him. 71 years old. And he died. But Google him. And you can see his paintings. And you can get a feel. And God blessed him incredibly financially, and it was in the paper yesterday. And Charleston is leaving his money to a society that helps abuse children and also to pet helpers. And so I just praise God for his heart. And,
so we need to go by and see folks.
Yes.
Because you never know.
Amen.
All right, the third thing he said was, I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith. Now, let me give you the definition for that, and we're going to close. The definition is tereo, T-E-R-E-O. And in the Greek, it means this, to watch over, to guard, to pay attention to, and to maintain, to tend. Let me say again, to watch over, to guard, to pay attention to maintain, to tend. Something precious to someone, like a garden. It doesn't mean you can lose your faith. Doesn't mean that. It means that you need to take care of your faith. Not to neglect. And so Paul says, I have run the course, I fought the fight, and I have paid attention to taking care and strengthening and tending my faith. And I want you to understand every one of us can do that. Just get along with him and say, Lord, I'm going to take my faith seriously today. And I'm going to take these few minutes to meet with you. And I'm going to take this time to let you work in my life. Because, Lord, I want to get better. I want to get stronger. I want to get more wisdom from you. I want to get more certain about your will for my life. I want to get your understanding where I see a spiritual perspective in things. And it's been long enough being defeated by this one end. You can have this. And so I'm going to put it in your hand. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. I'm going to ask Judy to come play softly. Man, if you're here today and you want to come up and have a word of prayer with me, you come on. But I want you to take this time and just say to the Lord, Lord Jesus, I know you want me to have victory in this area in my life. I know you want me to have it, and let Him reveal that to you. And as He reveals that to you, say, okay, Lord, what do we need to do? What do we need to do, Lord Jesus? And let Him reveal to you the path of victory. If you want to come up and pray with me, you come. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, let's take a few moments and meet with the Lord.